In today's episode, Patty and I, for the first time in 4 years, are back with a brand new episode of the Awaken Life podcast. And we're going to discuss relationships and how that relates to growth and spiritual awakening and the challenges and also solutions that it can bring and result. We're going to also touch on religion and reconciling opposing belief systems and how that can be done in our experience. And this is for anybody who is looking for just like real off-the-cuff, honest wisdom that Patty and I have gained from over 20 years being together and having relationships that have run parallel to our own sort of earnest pursuit of truth and growth and expansion. We've learned a lot, and we give you as much as we can in this short episode. Hey, what's going on, my friends? Welcome to another episode of the Awaken Life podcast. My name is Victor, and I'm here with my beautiful wife, Patty.
Hey.
It's been, how long has it been since we've done a podcast? Like 3 years, 4 years?
Oh, God. Yeah. I mean, it's been at least since, I think the last one we did, we had our house in Sedona. So 4 years.
4+ years.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we're sorry for the long hiatus. And, hopefully you'll forgive us because we're back and we're excited to be back and to serve you in whatever way we're able to. And today we're going to try a bit of a different format where basically I'm just going to take questions I receive via email, on YouTube, you know, wherever. And if I think there's a question that might apply to a lot of people and it's something me and Patty feel comfortable talking about and have some experience with, We'll do that. So today's episode is no different. We're going to take a question from our friend here. Let me get it up. Catlin Martin, a couple months ago from YouTube. She said, navigating a marriage where I'm on the spiritual journey and my husband is on a religious journey in Christianity. And then she went on to say other things about how basically just the difference in perspectives is difficult to reconcile. And I want to just say right off the bat, this episode isn't going to only be exclusive to people who are married or anything like that. It's any type of relationship where you start to change so much that there's a lot of challenges that can kind of come as a result. For example, just the fact that you might start seeing the world completely different, like in this particular case, having a radically different worldview can make it difficult to connect on a deep level. And if you're in a marriage or in a partnership, you know, most of the time people long for that kind of depth. And it can be difficult, not impossible, but difficult and require some adjustments in that particular case. And we're going to kind of see where it goes, but we're going to touch on the many different types of challenges and then also solutions we've found along this journey, doing our best to kind of manage our awakening and our self-development journey with the people in our lives. And there is no like one size fits all answer, but we'll do our best to kind of touch on some of the most common circumstances. So what do you have to say, honey, about when your worldview is so drastically different? You know, that's a legitimate situation to be in. Like, okay, I'm married and, you know, we have completely different belief systems and we're both kind of firm in them. So where does that leave us?
I mean, I have a couple of different, you know, perspectives on that. Because for one, when you had your Kundalini awakening and you started telling me all this stuff, I didn't really understand it. I didn't experience it. So I didn't really, you know, I couldn't really relate. But I just sort of had the perspective of like, if that's his experience, then that is real for him and I can support him however you know I see fit in the moment. And I realized that it's a little bit different because you know, when you have a spiritual perspective versus a religious perspective, it can be a little bit challenging depending on how rigid the belief system is, right? My family is very religious. And they go to church and they, you know, have a very strong view of their religious perspectives. And as someone with a spiritual perspective, you know, it can be a little bit hard to digest the dogma that is associated with religion. But I've over the years sort of come into my own sort of understanding and perspective on religion, and I don't necessarily like agree, but I sort of just live by the idea that everybody gets to believe whatever they want, and it's not for me to decide. As long as you two can accept each other's differing views and you don't try to change the other person, then you don't have to believe the same thing as your partner. Victor and I have, you know, you and I, babe, have very different views on some things, and we just allow each other to have our own perspective, you know, even though it's somewhat challenging, but we don't ever try to change each other's views. And I think that it can, you know, be very easily managed
Yeah.
if you allow each other to just be where you're at.
Yeah. And I don't think it's challenging for us because we both don't claim to know it all. We both allow ourselves to like, I can appreciate your perspective, even if I see it differently and know there's kind of value in it. And this is kind of what I wanted to say to that the person in particular that I have found, because when I first had my spiritual awakening and I started seeing things very differently, it was initially very important for me that everybody also saw the world the way I did. And that was the problem, not that other people didn't see it my way. It was my attachment to other people seeing it in my way. And what has brought me a lot of peace is just accepting it. Not like I have no resistance being around my family and my loved ones because, like, my parents and everybody where I grew up, knowing that if we were to like really get down to the brass tacks, we would definitely run into some kind of conflicts of perspectives, but because I don't necessarily need them to see it the way I do, I don't feel bad about it. And in a marriage, it's tricky because ideally both people would be like that, and sometimes that's not the case, you know. But the person who's kind of even asking a question like this can at the very least give it a valid attempt to kind of soften maybe a little bit their own need for things to be understood and like, you know, for the other person to see things the way they do. And you might be surprised at how that might soften them. You might want to just sort of take the lead there and see what happens, because it can get very, you can get into the weeds when it's kind of like you just start focusing on the differences and the arguments and things like that. Someone's going to have to give a little bit, and the person asking this question, I wouldn't say, why not that be you?
Yeah, and I also would invite you, you know, because I have recently gone down some rabbit holes of spirituality and religion sort of came up for me. And you know, I did some digging because I'm curious. And there was a few books that I listened to and read that really helped to you know, give me some different perspectives. So you know, I'm not sure. You know, if I'm gonna like name them all right now, but
Yeah, well, if we get her started, she'll just take
I will
over.
go off. That's why I'm kind of like stuttering, because I really just want to kind of go off. But one of the books that really helped me was a book about the Essenes. And the Essenes are a group of people, and I won't get into it, but they could do things that Jesus could do, and apparently, according to certain texts, Jesus learned his healing abilities from these Essene people, and some people call them the, you know, first Christians. But I stumbled across this group of people somehow, and it really opened my perspective. So, on religion and things like that. And if you know, if your husband is open, you know, maybe because it is, you know, connected to Jesus, and it could be something that maybe could get you guys to sort of come into new perspectives together in a way that would feel safe for both of you, because, you know, especially with religion, there's a lot of really, really strong opinions on non-believers in some religions. And so, there's a lot of fear that's attached to religion sometimes. And so this might end up being something, that would be safe for you both to kind of embark on.
Yeah. Well, it's always helped me. Like, I've earlier in life, I had a lot of resistance to, I still do, I suppose, anyone trying to tell me what is right and what I should believe. So for a while, I had like this aversion to anybody who called themselves like religious. I just assumed I would never get along with them. But eventually I softened, as I kind of mentioned. And to my own surprise, I've been able to get along with a lot of very religious people over like the last 20 years. I've had really good friends, like close friends who are extremely religious, I would say, like very, very devout fundamentalists. And what I found, even with those types of people, I could still find many areas of commonality. You know, most people who are passionate about their religious beliefs, they probably experienced something or something they read maybe touched them. And they want others to have that. Now, there's more to it. I understand it. It can be taken, of course, to an extreme, but I believe maybe at the very least, like that's in everybody. That's in most people anyway. Not everybody, most people. You can, if you can find that, and what helps me is to kind of allow myself to be flexible with my own terminology and not be so attached to like how I would phrase God, the universe, things like that. And I can oftentimes talk with Christians and reference the Bible and use the word, you know, Jesus and things like that. And I'm also being authentic and true to myself, just being polite and using terminology that I know they're going to resonate with. And that can oftentimes allow us to have very deep and meaningful conversations.
And it's funny because the term prayer and meditation can really be used interchangeably, right? Because that's
Yeah,
really
there's
what
a
prayer is. It's
depth to
just
that.
a meditation of some sort. And meditation is also spoke about in the Bible. And so, I think that it's just another form of praying, just in a different way. And there's similarities in all religions, and the essence is, be kind and loving and compassionate, and
Yeah.
somehow along the way we can all connect on that at least,
Absolutely. But you know, there are cases though where in my experience, it's not so much like the beliefs that can create a problem, it's like the level of consciousness. And sometimes it's not about like the particulars, it's just about the general attitude, I would say, that can sometimes create almost a constant feeling of just dissonance and you know, where whenever you're around the person, regardless if you're talking about the weather or what the religion or something, it's you it can kind of bring you down, and it can be kind of a struggle to you just realize that people who you're around have an effect on you, plain and simple. Whether you want that to be true or not, it does seem to be the case. And you know, when you're around people of like a like mind, I don't mean like belief, I mean like a like level of consciousness, I would say. It doesn't have to be perfect, but like relatively in the same ballpark, there's a sense of harmony, a general sense of harmony and lightness and flow and ease, and like where you're contributing to each other. The relationship is growing both people and assisting both people and enriching both people. But when there's too much of a discrepancy in like the vibration or whatever, however you want to label it, it just it becomes almost impossible. It becomes very, very forced feeling. And I've been in this case too, because that can be tricky when you're like, when it's with people who like you've been around a long time. And you're like, well, what do I do when I all of a sudden I just feel like I don't want to be around them? It's just not resonating. It's bringing me down. It's like holding me back sometimes. And that can create a lot of guilt. Like, well, maybe it's not right to create space, but and for a while, the guilt would sort of prevent me from setting boundaries, for example. But what ended up winning out every time was this innate knowing that I deserve to be myself. I deserve to grow. I deserve to explore. And anyone that's going to really prevent that or attempt to is not someone I need to feel obligated to, because that's not a true relationship. That's someone who is expecting me to be a particular you know.
That's conditional love.
Yes, exactly.
Unconditional love is I see you as you are, as you show up, and it may not be exactly as I have planned or would prefer, but the love that I feel for you is still there.
Yeah.
You know?
And it can be hard to be in the other shoes. I've also learned sympathy. Like recently, my buddy, one of my closest friends, who was always in close proximity to me. We always lived in the same state. We kind of done a lot of stuff together. And, you know, for a while he was alone and single. And he just said to me one day, like, he just longs to have his own version of what we have, like a family. And he knew he wasn't going to get it where he was living. And that required him to move.
Yeah.
And on a personal level, I was like sad about that. I had mixed feelings. I felt like, well, what about me? We're not going to hang out, you know, that kind of thing. But so I knew it was like challenging for me to have that unconditional love. It's like something people can say, but actually doing it is not easy. Mm-hmm. But I was able to eventually do it and accept and be happy for him truly in my heart. And it's been fine. But I just remember like how it was a challenge for me. Even someone who's on YouTube and says all these things that I'm saying now, it's like when put in the circumstance to really allow someone to be themselves and to kind of explore when it affects me in a certain way, it was initially kind of challenging. So I say that just to almost invite anyone else who's running into that to have some like compassion and to put yourself in their shoes. You know, they're probably just feeling, you know, deeper emotions aside from just whatever, you know what I'm saying? I'm kind of getting off track here.
Yeah, no. And I also think it's important to have compassion for yourself too and allow yourself say, okay, I'm feeling this way and look at that and marinate in that. And that gives you opportunity to really see how much you actually deeply care about the person. Mm-hmm. Because you're like, yes, I'm sad because I'm not going to see you all the time. Like, and I'm going to miss our bro time, you know, and that makes me sad. And also, I want you to thrive. And it's okay that I feel sad. You know what I mean? For them to thrive.
Yeah.
You know, like that is also okay. Sometimes it's like as a parent. There's a whole many different grieving processes and letting go processes as your child ages. But it's in their best interest if you actually can go through that letting go process. And it's the same for any relationship because you're letting go of the idea of who you think they should be and welcoming in the opportunity for them to really shine as who they are. You know, and that's, you know, when you can look at it like that, it's like, yeah, it's okay that I feel sad. You know, it's okay that I'm angry, even if, you know, I had a friend reach out to me that she's not really having a good relationship with her mom right now. And she was mad. And I said, you're allowed to be mad. But she felt guilty about being mad. And I was like, no, you're allowed to be mad. You know, you're an adult woman that was wronged in your eyes. So it's all okay. Whatever your feelings are about a person, you can still like allow that to unfold. You don't have to make any changes with that and just be like, okay, I'm sad, I'm mad, I'm happy, I'm excited, I'm in love. Like, it's great.
Yeah. I think though where it does get tricky is when the other person isn't aware of all that. Like, mm-hmm. I'm not a perfect saint, but in this particular case, I was able to kind of separate my own personal triggers versus like what's best for the relationship and sort of sort it out. And that's why we're still close friends and everything. But not always is that the case. Sometimes people feel a strong reaction to, you know, you having a new belief, for example, or you going off and, you know, I went through this another time when you went off and started pursuing your own passions,
mm-hmm.
where for a while you were kind of at home all the time and taking care of the kids and you were like this constant. And then once the kids got older, you were like, you know what, I want to start going off and going to retreats and meeting new friends. And initially it was like hard for me, but because I was able to kind of own that, we were able to kind of work it out. But not everyone does that. You know, yeah. Some people let those feelings result in, you know, just coming out as like resistance and negativity.
Yes.
And then no one wants to be around that. So they eventually like go off, and you never know if the person's going to be able to own their shadow, essentially.
Yeah, I also think one of the things that has helped us over the years, because we've each had our own moments where it's like you've changed and I've been like, what the fuck? Like we've each had that. But we do, one of the things that I think, as you were saying all that, I realized like we do have really good communication and ability to like express clearly what our needs are, right? And like it wasn't always, it wouldn't always come out in the best way, especially years ago,
Yeah,
but
15 years later, we were able to do this,
right,
but for
yes,
a while.
right. But we always somehow found a way to fight it out one day,
Yep.
but we were always able to like speak clearly on our truth. And so, for example, when I started kind of like going off, I'm like, I n need this for my sanity. Like, I need to know who I am for my sanity so I can be better for everyone else. And if I don't get an opportunity to go out and do that, then I'm going to be miserable. And that's no good for anybody.
Yep.
But when you it takes some self-awareness to be able to clearly communicate. So for many years, I had to like separate myself and just sit and figure out what exactly am I feeling? Why exactly do I feel upset right now? And that gave me opportunity to really be able to start to clearly communicate. But I was not very good at communicating, and especially when we first were dating,
Yeah, and I think what you said is exactly why it's so difficult, because the emotions can be so intense. Because Dolores Cannon, she says that the vast majority of a soul's the soul's karma they come in to work on, it's within their relationships, basically. So it's like these little conflicts. Take a pick of anything we've discussed here, whether it's from the person asking the question or anything, any examples we gave. Those. We speak about it kind of almost like lightly here, but the reality of it in those moments of conflict, the emotions are very intense. They're touching on core wounds. For you, for me, for example, I remember when you were kind of going off and like wanting to like have your own life, basically. To me, it was like it brought up a fear of abandonment, a fear of, well, she's gonna like not, she's gonna meet somebody else now, and like all these like very deep fears were associated with the very understandable request. Like, hey, listen, I've been watching these kids for 12 years. I'd like to have a hobby. Is that too much to ask? And of course, the answer is no, but the feelings, they can be so great. And
And that's not even to mention some of the things that I was feeling by, I would feel guilty because I knew he was feeling that way, but then I'd also be mad because I felt like he was trying to control me,
yeah.
right? Which is also a core wound of mine. And feeling guilt and feeling controlled, it was, so it was like both of our core wounds were sort of getting triggered at the same time. And when that happens, I am a fiery woman, okay? And so it took a lot for me to not blow up and like get into like a serious argument, And so it's taken years of going through these processes, and
Yeah.
it doesn't have to be hard, but the reality is it generally is. In especially in the beginning, like if you and if for the example for the question, if you and your husband have been together for many, many, many years, then you have established roots. But if you've only been married for 6 months or something, the roots aren't quite as deep as a marriage that's been, together for 20, 30, 40 years.
Yeah, exactly. And like what you're describing, I think, is like two activated pain bodies, according to Eckhart Tolle, like two active shadows basically taking the individual over and duking it out. And that's exactly what we did for many, many years. I remember, like, I don't know, maybe 4 or 5 years ago, we got to a point where, because there are consequences to that. When I would be active like that, I would do and say things that I am not like that are like hurtful and I regret. And so too with you. And over the years, we've inflicted a lot of like pain onto one another that I remember we got to a point where we were almost like wondering, how do we forgive each other? Like, I have a list of things I'm so resentful about, and so do you, and they're both valid. And I don't know what ended up happening, honestly, but it doesn't seem like to be an issue anymore, thank God.
Well, I think we figured out a way to sort of accept each other as we show up and not as we want the other person to show up.
And to just accept each other's shadow. Like, I love you, and there's also a part of you, like, again, not in a while, thankfully, but like,
I think also in our older age, we've maybe calmed down.
Finally loosening up a little more. It's been a long time. But I had to accept your shadow. Like, when your shadow's active, there are characteristics that I'm not fond of. And so too with you and me.
Yeah, of course.
Same exact thing.
I love my shadow, by the way.
Wow.
I love what
making
you got.
Making fun of us now. But it wasn't easy, man. There were times, I remember we'd get in these crazy fights, and like, I'd go online and look up like what, like, I'd look up like divorce and what that's going to look like. And you would do the same thing. I remember one time you came home because you were looking at apartments or something.
No, I came home and I said I was online. I was.
Yes, that's what I mean.
Yeah, because I was just like so.
And all that was a threat. That was like the wounded you just being like, I'm still hurting. And
yeah.
And we both, it got so sloppy for a while there, honestly. It's amazing that we made it out.
But, we say all that just to say it's like, you know, it's okay. Sometimes people look at us like, oh, you guys are the perfect couple. And it's like, I mean, we've worked really hard to get where we're at. And, you know, we fought all the big fights and now we've been together for over 20 years. And so it's kind of like, you know.
That's the beauty. As you work through these deep issues, you have a deepening of your appreciation and love and acceptance for each other. Mm-hmm. And then it has gotten a lot easier, I will say. Like,
yeah.
While I wondered if it would ever get easier, but now I can honestly say that there's been a lot of fruits to our labor in this regard, and it's nice, and it's worth it. I wouldn't have traded it for the world. Well, maybe some of it I would have exchanged if given the opportunity.
No, I wouldn't. I don't know. There's some times where, you know, but I also, every challenging moment has taught us something.
Yeah.
You know, and that's one of the beautiful things about having different belief systems and having different views and having different shadows and different traumas. You know, you get to learn about yourself in a really, really beautiful way, and you get to grow.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, Carl Jung says something like, if you really want to, like, have some clues to, like, the nature of your own shadow and unresolved, like, issues and unconsciousness, look at the things that really bother you and upset you. Like, for you, for a while, because Patty is so extroverted, she would just sometimes say things so freely. And I would always become so uncomfortable and think, God, why is she not having any filter whatsoever? The words that come out of her mouth. And like, if I wasn't personally triggered by that, I would have no care. I'd be like, okay, let her upset somebody and she'll have to deal with it or something.
Yeah.
But it bothered me because of my own, you know, almost opposite tendency, which is to be a little bit too filtered and contemplative about what I'm going to say. And
I am filtered, by the way. I do filter some things out.
I know. Some. No. But anyway, so it's like, yeah, if you're willing to look at yourself, then these challenges can be growth opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
They really can. Or, you know, it doesn't always work out that way. And sometimes, you know, if you just didn't grow, if you didn't do your own inner work, it would have been impossible. But luckily, we both have. Off and on at different rates at different times. Mm-hmm. But overall, we both are willing to look at ourselves, at least eventually, and to own our stuff, own our mistakes, apologize, and work on ourselves, you know? And that's another big part, is like demonstrating actual change. Like, I hear what you're saying, honey. I have a lot of unconsciousness in this particular area, but I'm going to try my best. And even if you see me trying, that is that goes a long way as well.
Yeah, you don't even have to say it for me. I can just sort of feel it when you make changes. But
yeah.
No, it's good to speak on it. And, you know, there are some times when relationships will sort of have to fizzle out, but you know, especially with a marriage or if family members, you know, where you know, it's a little more challenging to separate from. You know, the important thing is that you do everything that you can to be supportive and understanding. And then when you can do no more, then you know you've done your best, and then you can have no regrets if you have to. It's a little different with friendships because those are generally a little easier to sort of separate from if need be. But you know.
And that is also a potentially helpful reflection. Like, I'll give an example for myself. I remember when my daughter Maya, who's now 16, when she started to like grow out of being a little kid and wanting to spend more time in her room and, you know, no longer laughing at my jokes and just clearly putting up boundaries, I remember it triggered me so much because it was my first kid. I wasn't used to it. And I was like offended. I was sad. I had all these very intense feelings. And what it initially did is it caused me to kind of like try to keep her young and force her to hang out and stuff. And but what she did, and as a very healthy little soul she is, she put up even more boundaries. She was like, she responded to me being unconscious essentially. And what that did is that allowed me to look at myself and see like, wow, I'm hanging on to this something, and this little innocent kid just wants to grow up and become autonomous, and I'm trying to prevent her. And in doing so, it's just making it worse. It's creating even a wider gap. So I'm thankful that she set a boundary, created distance, even like told me off a couple of times, because that was data I needed to look at myself and think, oh, wow, I don't like this. And that was exactly what I needed to change and to evolve and to let go more. And it was extremely helpful that creating space that she did. So I say that for the other people who might feel inclined to create some space with somebody who's upsetting them. That might be the exact medicine they need. Anything else you want to add, love, before we wrap?
I was thinking about a book by Adishanti, and it's called The Resurrection of Jesus. I was thinking about it like before, but I didn't want to bring it up, but since now you've asked, now I'm gonna say this book is the Buddhist perspective on Jesus from Adishanti, and it was a beautifully written book, and it was also a book that I had read while going down the spiritual rabbit hole that I thought was really beautiful. And so that's a good book to read if you are wanting to sort of look at some of Jesus's teachings in a different from a different perspective, a non-Christian perspective.
Nice. Yeah, I've read the book. I came to mind earlier on as well. It's a good one. And then real quick, just to say, if you guys have any questions or comments or topics you'd like us to discuss, please feel free to respond to this podcast. And then lastly, another thing Patty and I are going to be doing that's relatively new is roughly once a month, we're going to conduct online transformation ceremonies such as somatic release breath work, QHHT past life regressions. Patty, you'll do things with the plants, right? She's very careful in how I say that. How would you like to say what I just said?
I mean, I feel like we'll be just putting on some workshops that are going to
No, I
be.
mean in terms of like you can help people connect to the plants, essentially.
Yeah,
I
well, yeah. I don't really know how to describe it, but
All right.
it's essentially just different information on different plants and how to work with them and connect with them in various different ways.
There we go. Okay, cool.
Okay.
It's a nice clean way to say it. Well, we're going to be doing these roughly nonetheless, like once a month for free. And I'll leave a link down below. And what that is a little page. You just simply put in your email address and then you'll get the Zoom link and the dates and the times of the next one. And you'll be able to participate. Just kind of a fun offering we're going to be doing. And with that said, thank you all for listening. I wish you all the best and feels great to be back home, babe.
Yes. So good. Thank you. Sending you all lots of love and blessings.